writer, denied by Paul Ferguson. Now for the first affirmative speech by David Hartwright.
Moderators, Mr. Ferguson, ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful to God Almighty to be able to come and in your hearing tonight to defend the deity of the only begotten Son of God. I appreciate your presence in this assembly, and I trust that your presence is an indication that you're interested in the study of the Word of God. I want to say in the very beginning that I appreciate Mr. Ferguson. This is the first time to meet him, and I hope as the debate proceeds, we will become close friends. But in the very beginning of the debate, I want to express my respect for him, for his willingness to do what many who claim the same inspiration have been unwilling to do. And I respect that in him, even though I do regard him as a false teacher. I shall seek to, in a loving way, present what I believe to be the error of his position. I want to see, first of all, chart number one. I'm here tonight to deny an alleged latter-day revelation and to contend for the faith once for all delivered unto the saints. If it had not been for this alleged latter-day revelation, there would be no debate tonight. In the history of the Oneness Movement, entitled United We Stand, the statement is made it was not until 1913, however, that the truth of the oneness of the Godhead was fully revealed. In the manual of the United Pentecostal International, 1977, it is stated, in the year 1914 came the revelation on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the pivotal doctrines of the absolute deity of Jesus Christ, and baptism in his name became tenets of the faith. And so it was as a result of a latter-day revelation that we're here tonight. Now, what did that latter-day revelation cause men to believe about Jesus, the only begotten Son of God? That latter-day revelation caused them to believe that Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, is a mere man. Nothing more than flesh. It caused them to deny the deity of the only begotten Son of God, to claim that God the Son has never existed, and to claim that the Son of God has a temporary importance to us. Actually, in their literature, they say that someday the Son of God will be obsolete. I'm here tonight to defend the revelation of the first century against that revelation of the 20th century. By the Scriptures, I mean the Bible. By teach, I mean impart knowledge. By Jesus, I mean the one who was crucified and made both Lord and Christ, Acts 2:36. By God the Son, I mean the Son of God. By one, I mean one less than two and one more than zero. By three, I mean one less than four and one more than two. By beings, I mean living, intelligent, self-conscious entities. By Godhead, I mean one God, deity, the state of being God. Now, what is the issue tonight? It's not, is there one God? I believe in one God. I believe the very fact that is declared in 1 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, in verses 4 through 6, that there is no God but one. The issue tonight is not three distinct beings, or sometimes called persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I believe Paul Ferguson and I would both agree that there are three distinct beings. Well, what is the issue? The issue is the deity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And because I believe that Mr. Ferguson will concede the deity of the Father and the Holy Spirit, then really, tonight, the whole issue comes down to the deity of the Son of God. And if I can establish in your mind tonight, from the Word of God, the deity of the only begotten Son of God, I will have defended the faith once for all delivered. Next chart. Chart number three. There are three distinct beings. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter, in verses 4 through 6, we find a number of things listed. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father.
And out of that list, we note three that are of particular interest in our discussion tonight. One Spirit, one Lord, and one Father. I believe anyone in the audience can understand that and can add that and take help to misunderstand the truth of that scripture. Now, these three are distinct. The Father, in Ephesians 4 and 6, is said to be over all. In 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verse 3, the head of Christ is God. The Son is distinct from the Father. In John, the 8th chapter, verse 28, he said, I do nothing of myself. The Holy Spirit. In John 16, verse 13, Jesus said of the Holy Spirit, He, that's an attribute of personality, He shall not speak from Himself. Here's the Father who is over all. Here is the Son who does nothing of Himself. And here is the Holy Spirit who does not speak from Himself. So distinction exists between the three beings. Now, what does the term Son of God mean? And that's really what the debate is all about tonight. If I can convince this audience as to what the term Son of God means, I will convince you of the deity of the Son. If I can convince Mr. Ferguson of that, we'll shake hands and go home tonight in the oneness of faith, at least on that point. What does the term Son of God mean? To the Jews, it meant deity. In John the 5th chapter and verse 18, they sought to kill Jesus because he called God his own Father, making himself equal with God. When they heard him say, I'm the Son of God, they thought, well, he's claiming equality with God. In John the 10th chapter, in verse 33, again they were accusing him of blasphemy and saying, because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Now, if Mr. Ferguson had been there, he could have said to them, now, wait just a minute. When he says he's the Son of God, he only means he's a man. And all the Jews would have said, well, that's fine, we're men, and we believe that. It's when he claims to be the Son of God and he makes himself equal with God, he being a man makes himself God, that we claim he is blasphemy. Jesus never denied their view of his deity. When they brought him on trial, the only thing they could finally settle on was the fact that he confessed himself to be the Son of God. Matthew, the 26th chapter, verses 63 through 66. Tell us whether thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said, thou hast said, Mark records him in Mark 14:62, as saying, I am. And they said, that's blasphemy. He needs to be put to death. Why? Because he claimed to be the Son of God. In John 19 and verse 7, the Jews said, we have a law, and by that law he ought to die, because he made himself God the Son? No, because he made himself the Son of God. And they believed that that meant that he was God the Son, and therefore he had committed blasphemy. What did the Son of God mean, the term Son of God, mean to the apostles? It meant worship. In Matthew, the 14th chapter, in verse 33, they said, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And they that were in the boat worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Were they worshipping man? Or were they worshipping God? To the angels, the term Son of God meant superiority. In Hebrews, the 1st chapter, in verses 4 and 5, having become so much better than the angels. Why? What was the proof of that? Because God said to him, thou art my Son. His sonship showed his superiority to angels. As a man, oh, as a mere man, he was lower than the angels. Hebrews 2, 6 and 7. But as the Son of God, he was superior to angels. To the Holy Spirit, the expression Son of God means eternal. In Hebrews, the 7th chapter and verse 3, saying, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, now note, but made like unto the Son of God. What is the Holy Spirit telling us? The Son of God has neither beginning of days nor end of life. To believers, the term Son of God means salvation. Except you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins. John 8 and 24. What does it mean to Mr. Ferguson? What does it mean to the oneness position? I think some of you will want to abandon that position tonight. To the oneness, it means he's a mere man, that's all. Just a mere man. Now, I want you to observe the Son as he speaks to his Father. And as the Son speaks to his Father, notice that this manifests distinction between the Father and the Son. And also, it manifests the deity of the Son. First of all, their conversation concerning the incarnation in Hebrews the 10th chapter and verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body did thou prepare for me. Now, he said this when he came into the world as an infant. Who is the thou and who is the me? The thou is the Father. The me, the Son of God. And the body is the flesh. Now, if all there is to the Son of God is flesh, then how could he say, a body didst thou prepare for me? When he came into the world. In John 17, verses 20 and 21, we find another conversation between the Father and the Son. This time there was a prayer for duplication. That they all may be one, Father, as thou art in me and I in thee. That they may be one in us. That they may be one even as we are. These are the petitions that Jesus prayed. Oneness. Now, if that means one person, as Mr. Ferguson contends, then he's praying that all believers become one person. Here is the God of the Old Testament, the same one God of the New Testament. And the Son, praying to the Father, says, Father, I pray that all believers in me may be one even as we are. Duplication of their oneness. Then, once again, we have a conversation between the Father and the Son recorded in Matthew the 27th chapter in verse 46. The only begotten Son was suffering on the cross for you and me. We might be redeemed from sin. In that suffering and agony, he looked up into heaven and cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Here's the Son talking to the Father, and at this point it's obvious that the Son does not have the fellowship of the Father. They are separate and distinct. Now, one of two things must be said. Either the Son, dying on the cross at this point, was nothing but a mere man, or we have the only begotten Son of God, God the Son, shedding his blood for the redemption of mankind. Surely no one would have the audacity to stand in the presence of men and claim that the one who died on the cross was nothing more than a mere man. In the second chapter of the book of Acts, in verse 27, there is yet another conversation between the Father and the Son. Because thou wilt not leave my soul unto Hades, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Here is the Son speaking to the Father. Who is the thou, the Father? Who's the my soul, Christ? Who's the Holy One, the flesh of Jesus Christ? You see, there's more to the Son than mere flesh. And then in his glorification, he had a conversation with his Father about glorification. In John 17 and verse 5, he said, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee. Now notice, before the world was. This is the Son speaking. You readily see in the first verse, the Son speaking to his Father. If all there is to the Son is flesh, and if he began in Bethlehem, then how could he ask for the glory that he had with the Father before the world was? I say that that not only shows a difference between the Father and the Son, but it shows also the eternal nature of the Son, the deity of the Son of God. But not only do we have conversations between of the Son to the Father, we have a conversation with reference to the Father to the Son. Now, the oneness view is Father's talking to himself, Son talking to himself. Some kind of spiritual schizophrenia in which he just carry on talking to himself. You know, We worry about people that walk around talking to themselves, don't we? Here the Father speaks to his Son. And what does he say? First of all, he speaks in a manner to identify the Son. Matthew the 3rd chapter in verses 16 and 17, we find the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was in the water. And as he was in the water, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove coming upon him. And there was a voice out of heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus in the water, one. The Spirit descending, two. The voice from heaven, three. In 2 Peter, the first chapter, in verses 16 and 17, there's a reference to what took place in Matthew 17, the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter said, concerning our Lord Jesus Christ, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there was born such a voice to him by the majestic glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Father, glorify a mere man? Or was he glorifying the only begotten Son of God? In Hebrews, the fifth chapter, in verses 4 and 5, we read of the honoring of Jesus to enter the priesthood. No man taketh this honor to himself. But when he's called of God, so Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest. Now, the position of the oneness is Christ did glorify himself. But the Bible says, no, he didn't. The Father glorified the Son. How? Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. When he crowned Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords, in Acts 2, 34 and 35, we read, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. Whose son is he? Jesus said when he was reading that statement that David was referring to, that he calls him his Lord. And then in Hebrews 1 and 8, a very plain statement of my proposition. But of the Son, he saith, listen, what did God say of the Son? Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. So the Father speaks to the Son. Now let us have chart number 8. In John the 20th chapter, in verses 27 through 31, we find the appearance of the only begotten Son of God to his apostles after his death, and specifically on this occasion to Thomas. What did Thomas see? He saw the flesh of the only begotten Son of God. Here are the wounds in my hand. Here are the wounds in my side. What do you see, Thomas? Thomas said, I see my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. And what did Jesus say? No, you're mistaken about that. I'm not your Lord and God. Jesus said, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And then he goes right on to say that these signs are written that you might believe. Believe what? That Jesus is the Son of God. Thomas confessed the faith. Jesus blessed the faith. The Scriptures teach the faith. And oneness deny the faith. That the Son of God was Lord and God. Let's see the next chart. In Mark the 10th chapter and verse 18, the rich young ruler came to the Lord and said to him, good teacher, what good thing should I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus stopped him in his tracks. He said, why do you call me good? He wasn't denying his goodness. He was challenging the man. The man was using good like a lot of people use good. Good in a relative sense. He said, there is one that is good. God. God is the good one. Now, was he denying that he was God? Listen to me. If the Son is not God, the Son is not good. Paul Ferguson tells us that the Son is not God. And when he does, he tells us the Son is not good. I'm happy to stand in your presence in defense of the faith once for all delivered to the saints, and to deny the latter-day revelation, 1913 and 1914. Jesus is the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, as so declared by the Spirit of God. I apologize for not answering the questions. He's absolutely correct. I realized it as I was starting down. There are five questions. One is, please check the things the Father begot. The Son's flesh, divine nature, rationality, consciousness, or other, please specify. The Father is said to have begotten the flesh in Luke 1 and verse 35, and to have begotten the resurrection in Acts 13, 33, the other. Does the word Son best describe his humanity or his deity? The Son of God describes his deity. The Son of David describes his humanity. Was God given life, power, perfection, and taught his doctrine as a man or as a divine being? As the Son of God, he emptied himself. Philippians 2, 6, and 7. As the Son of David, he learned. Are you the only true gospel preacher here tonight? I'm the only one debating you. There is one state of being a true gospel preacher, and I'm one of many faithful preachers here tonight. If three human beings sharing human nature are three men, why aren't three divine beings sharing divine nature three gods? If you can understand how three human beings can be one body, then you can understand how three beings can be one God. John 17, 20 and 21.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen moderators, and Mr. Hartgrave, it affords me great pleasure to appear before you in denial of the proposition this evening. And I want to assure each and every one of you that I come here seeking no personal victory and that there is no animosity between Mr. Hartrider and myself, and I trust that we shall come to know each other better and like each other better after this debate than we did before. All right, now at the outset, I want to answer Mr. Hartrider's questions that he has given. You'll find me, Mr. Hartrider, very accommodating, easy to please. I've answered all the questions with a yes answer, so you don't need to worry about whether I answered one. Number one, was the person named Jesus who died on the cross the person, the one person in the Godhead? Yes, he was the one person in the Godhead made flesh. I believe that God transformed himself into flesh. I believe he was incarnated, but I don't believe he was incarcerated. Matthew 18:20, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. He did not give up his omnipresence. Probably there's about 11 cubic feet in individual. Hebrews 10:10 says, by which will we are sanctified by the body of Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus Christ was God made flesh. Number two, is the Holy Spirit whose name Jesus, the Father of the Son whose name is Jesus. Yes. Matthew 1:20 says that which is begotten in her is of the Holy Spirit. The word translated conceived, according to Arndt & Gingrich lexicon, section 1, number 1, it says beget, a literal, means to become a father of. And Matthew 1:20 is listed under that category and section. So according to the name or the meaning of the word in Matthew 1:20, yes. Number 3, is the child born of Isaiah 9:6 the everlasting father? Yes, he is the everlasting father made flesh. Number 4, is it right to worship the Son of God? Yes. John 5:22 and 23 says that they may honor the Son as they honor the Father because he has been given power to judge and has been given resurrection power. Number 5, did the Son actually have glory with the Father before the world was created? Yes, he did. But was not the Son at the time until he was born? He wasn't the Son before he was born. Mr. Harkrider, in reply to my question, I believe he checked the divine nature. We'll have something to say about that in just a moment. But this is, as we say, the president was governor of Georgia, but was not president at the time. And I believe that the glory that he had, Mr. Hartrider, ought to go to the Old Testament to find where it says, such was the appearance of the glory of God. In Ezekiel 1:26-28, describes the appearance of the glory of God, and you see fire, a radiance, about a figure like the appearance of a man. I teach that this appearance figure as a man transformed himself into flesh and dwelt among us, and that he was later made flesh and became the Son of God. John 1:14, St. John 1:14, said the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. This word that translated was made in the King James Bible means become. And Arndt & Gingrich lexicon, page 158, says it's used of persons and things which change their nature and that it means become something, and lists St. John 1:14. All right, I want to check. I want to get slide Q1 up on the screen. And Mr. Hartrider, of course, has this already. This is his questions. I tried to jot down the answers, and I may have got this wrong. because he went through rather hurriedly. And I think that he said Father begot the flesh of Jesus Christ. And if he did, he was not a son before he was born. And this indicates that he is father of the humanity, and Mr. Harkrider believes that there's a difference between humanity and deity here. On number two, but of course he does not deny the deity of Jesus Christ. And I don't believe he was a mere man. That is a misrepresentation of my position. If there are brethren of mine that have literature that say that the son is going to become obsolete, they're wrong. They're not right on that. And I'll debate them on that as well as Mr. Harkrider. But does the son best describe his humanity or his deity? And I believe that he said humanity on that. And I'm in agreement with him on that. The son best describes his humanity. And he's trying to make the son totally deity, if I understand him correctly. Maybe he will make that clear in his speak. If he is, he's not consistent with his answer on this point. Number three, was the son given life, power, perfection, taught his doctrine as a man or as a divine being? And he listed Philippians 2, 6 and 7 on that, indicating that there was a divine being that emptied himself. But he was not Mr. Harkrider. If he believes that the Father begot the flesh or the humanity, he doesn't believe that the Son was a good description of what we had in the Old Testament either. And he believes, I'm going to have something to say about this Philippians passage, so maybe we better, as soon as I'm going to put a chart on the screen on that passage, just as soon as I'll get through with these questions, and I'll have something to say about that as well a little bit later on. I'll put it in front of me. Number four, are you the only true gospel preacher here? He said one of many, and he's the only one debating. He hedged a little bit on that, and then he finally said that he was one of many. And he shares, of course, with his brethren. They're all one in purpose, doctrine, and practice, and share the nature of gospel preachers, but he's not the only true gospel preacher. And Jesus Christ, one man, told the one God that speaking of his humanity, and I recognize that some passages are speaking of humanity and some passages are speaking primarily of his deity, and Mr. Harkrider concedes that because he mentioned something about it in his answer to number three. But the one man told the one God, you are the only true God, or this is eternal life to know you, the only true God. And of course he was speaking as a man in the flesh, and it was a reference to his human nature, but he talked to divinity, talked to deity, and he said you are the only true God. And Mr. Harkrider cannot say this, though he shares nature, common nature, with his brethren. And in saying that, of course, the humanity did not become a person in the Godhead, as he wants to take these verses that speak of the human nature and the divine nature of Jesus Christ and make them two persons in the Godhead, two beings in the Godhead. And I'm denying that tonight that they are, and he's using the same methods of the divine and human nature. I believe Jesus was both man and God, but I do not deny the deity of the Son of God. And then number five, he drew attention to John 17:21. He didn't answer the question, but he referred to scripture, John 17:21, which we'll have occasion to reply to. Put his slide 6 on the screen. Go over slide 6, 7, and 9. All right. Now, I had some conversations here, and we should expect to find conversations if Jesus, according to Hebrews 2:17, was a man, was made into all things, likened to the brethren. And he was a perfect man and perfect God. And I believe he referred to Luke 2:52 that says Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. And he's got the sacrifice and offering, thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me. And he doesn't understand that a human being, is more than just a body. And he's got one human being and one divine being there, but he doesn't have two beings in the Godhead, which he got to do to get his proposition off the ground. And Job 10 and 12 said, Thou hast fenced me about, clothed me with skin and bone, and fenced me about with flesh and sinews. The skin and the bone and the flesh and the sinews are not the me. The real me is the soul that lives within. And the me refers to the human soul of Jesus. The body refers to the flesh, the humanity of Jesus Christ that we were sanctified by. And the thou refers to the one God. He's got one man and one God in this verse, but he does not have two divine beings in the Godhead. And John 17 and 21 there, he's got one man and one God that are one in teaching and one in practice and one in doctrine, like Mr. Hockrider's brethren are, and the one God is the only true God. And that's speaking of the one that Mr. Hockrider calls God the Father. The one Mr. Hockrider calls God the Father is the only true God. Now, the problem he has there is that that one is neutered. It may, when it is neutered, refer to oneness of wills and oneness of purpose. But in Mark 12 and 32, scribe said, there is one God. Or the New American Standard Bible said, God is one. He is one. Masculine, referring to persons. He is one person. When it's masculine, it refers to persons. When it is neuter, it may refer to the oneness in purpose of the one man and the one God. And he's got one man and one God in that verse. Verse 14 in that same chapter of John, 17 and 14, he said, Keep them in thy name which thou hast given them, that they may be one as we are one. And as a man, he had to ask the Father to keep the church. But as God, he kept the church because he's shepherd and guardian of our souls. The 1 Peter 2:25 says. And then he's got the crucifixion there, where Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But he talked there about the statement on the cross, but he forgot to get his background in the Old Testament, which indicates that he's got one man and one God. That's the full text of that that begins with, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In Psalms 22 and verse 1, Psalms 22 and verse 10 says, Upon thee I was cast from birth, thou hast been my God from my mother's womb. That indicated that there was one man talking to one God, by which will we are sanctified by the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, Hebrews 10:10. And then he came to Acts 2:27 up there. He's still got one man and one God up there on his chart, because this is a quotation, of course, from Psalm 16. And when Peter introduced that quotation, he said, David speaks concerning him. This is not him speaking, but David speaking concerning him. And Psalm 16, even if it were Psalm 16 and verse 8, says, Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Verse 11 says, Thou wilt make known to me the path of life. Now that's evidence that one man, we have one man and one God there, but not two beings in the Godhead, as his proposition is supposed to show. And that glorification, he forgot to look and see what it was. That glory, the brightness of his glory, the New American Standard said is the exact representation of his person. And Ezekiel said that it was a figure like a man. And this, he said, this was what the glory of God looked like in Ezekiel 1:26-28. He forgot to go to the Old Testament and all of those. Get his slide 7 up there. All right, slide number 7. And the Father speaks to the Son in the baptism of Jesus. And John 1:33, John said, I didn't recognize him, but he was promised a visible sign. God gave him a visible sign and an audible sign. And we have here one God giving a visible and an audible sign to one man. And I want to, that is no more three persons in the Godhead than in Acts 2:4, when you had fire and a wind and the giving of utterance. That means that the Holy Spirit is three persons. If it is, he's got five persons in the Godhead. And he's got a visible and an audible sign of one God, and he's got one man in the water, but he didn't make the two beings in the Godhead. Didn't make it. Try again. And the transfiguration is the same thing, one man and one God. Why does he need to get glory? Jesus Christ got all his glory and all that he had from the Father. I'm going to put a chart up there on that in a minute. But in Hebrews 5 4 and 5. Why does he need glorification if he's a divine being? Looks like we got Mr. Hartrider here denying the divinity of the Son because he's got all these passages that says he needs to get glory from some other fella, needs to get taught his doctrine, John 8:28 and so on. And as what did he need to get taught as his doctrine? David Hartrider says as man. I agree with him. And then he's got here in the calling of Aaron. Well, you've got a parallel here. Aaron, a human being, being called by God, a divine being. And you've got the same parallel over on the other side, or Hebrews 5:5 means nothing. You've got Jesus Christ as a human being, being called by God, a divine being. He's got a human being and a divine being, but where are the beings in the Godhead? Verse 9 in that same passage says that he was made perfect, being made perfect. That to make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience and being made perfect. As why was he made perfect? Mr. Hackrider says as man, and I agree with him, but he does not deny the deity of Jesus Christ because he refers to the human nature like he's trying to pin on me. He's misrepresenting me. And then in the coronation, sit thou on my right hand till I make thy foes thy footstool. Now, Mr. Hartrider, if he's a being in the Godhead and he has as much power as the Father, why does he need another being to make him to be to take care of his enemies? As man, he's got somebody else taking care of his enemies, but as God, he does it alone and by himself in Revelation 19. And you've got 1 Corinthians 15:28 to explain on denying this, because it says the one that subjected all things, that the Son is going to be subjected to him, that God may be all in all. Now, if that's talking about the Son as a divine being, then he's going to be nothing after God becomes all in all. And I want him to deal with that. 1 Corinthians 15:28. Write it down. Glorification. Hebrews 1:8. Now, of course, there's two possible translations on this. It could either be thy throne, O God, and God is thy throne. And I have no objections to the Son of God being God as long as we remember that he's God made flesh. But A.T. Robertson said he wasn't certain which was right. And he said either is okay as far as the Greek is concerned. But maybe Mr. Hartrider knows something Robertson doesn't. And many others indicate this as well. All right. I've done 6 and 7. Now let's get number 9 on there. For my chart, I just got a 1 minute left. 2.5 minutes. Jesus said, "Anyone calls somebody good who's none good but one." That's masculine, not neuter. It's one person. That means God is one person. God is one being. Destroys his proposition. And I didn't say the Son was not God. I said he was God made flesh. All right. Now, I want to get as many of his charts as I have time for here at this time. Chart number 1, where he said the oneness was revealed. In the dictionary, that means to show plainly or open up to view. Simply means that God helped people understand and guided them in their reading of the Scripture. Number 2, issue is, what is the difference between 3 divine beings and 3 gods? I want him to tell it. I don't think he did when he answered the questions. Maybe he'll do it when he did. He just referred to John 17:21. Here's chart number 3, where he said, one Spirit, one Lord, one Father. He tried to make us think they're different. 2 Corinthians 3:17 said, the Lord is that Spirit. The Lord is that Spirit. And then, know ye the Lord, he is God. John 4:24, God is a Spirit. Try again. I want to see the 3 beings in the Godhead. I haven't seen them yet. Chart 4. Ephesians 4:6, who is over all? Why, that's Jesus. He that cometh from above is above all. John 3:31. Colossians 2:10, you're complete in him who's dead of all principality and power. But as man, God's his head just like any other man. Mr. Hartrider knows it. John 8:28, he can't answer that himself. That's the verse, but try John 8:40. He accuses me of saying it's a mere man. What does John 8:40 say? He said, the me is a man, and the me is a man who has spoken to you the truth that he learned from the Father. Did he learn it as a person in the Godhead? Have it taught as a person in the Godhead? I want him to explain that and deal with it. John 16:13, that's the Spirit of truth. John 14:6 says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's the Spirit of Jesus Christ. It's the finger of God, the power of God. Luke 11:30, Jesus said, I cast out demons. Luke 11:20, I cast out demons by the finger of God. Matthew 12:28 says, I cast them out by the Holy Ghost. It's the finger of God, the power of God. And God guides his power And he controls his spirit as we control ours. And so the man that controls his spirit is better than one that takes the city. How much time have I got? What? Time.
Gentlemen moderators, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Ferguson. The proposition we're debating tonight, in case you've forgotten, is the scriptures teach that Jesus is God the Son. Now, Mr. Ferguson says, I do not deny the deity of the Son of God. So you concede the point, right, Mr. Ferguson? Go and shake my hand. You don't deny the deity of the Son of God? You don't deny God the Son? Well, you find your proposition that you denied it. Would you like to shake my hand?
Oh, I'm going to shake your hand. Shake my foot. You've sure been kicking the tooth around up there.
Yes, if I shook his foot, I probably would be getting as much as I got out of his argumentation. But he said, when he came here tonight, that Jesus is not God the Son. He gets up and he tells you that he does not deny the deity of the Son of God. Now, define deity. He does not deny the God of the Son of God. That's what he said. And now he wants to be real cute about it. You can shake my foot. Dear friends, this is a matter of eternal importance. This man has signed to deny the Son of God, the deity of the Son of God. He doesn't like that. He doesn't want that. And he'll like it less in eternity. But he either repudiates the proposition and shakes his hand like a man, or he'll stick his foot up now. And as Jesus said of Judas, he that eateth my bread lifteth up his heel against me. Is that what this man did? Lifted up his heel against me. All right? Now, he says with reference to my questions, he wants me to follow him tonight, and I see why. He didn't answer my question, answer my arguments. He said that I said that Jesus was begotten merely of flesh. Luke 1:35. I didn't either. I said he was also begotten in the resurrection. Acts 13:33. He said that proves that he was not a son before he was born. He was a son before he was begotten. Acts 13:33. This day have I begotten thee in the resurrection. Now, if his begattal is the beginning of his sonship, then there's a mistake in Acts 13:33 that says, this day in his resurrection, this day have I begotten thee. And also, please bear in mind the fact that he absolutely ignored Hebrews 7:3. Made like unto the Son of God without beginning of days and end of life. Let him pay attention to it. He ignored it. Why? Well, that's certainly not inspiration of the Spirit of God. That would ignore the Word of God and not confess the truth of it. Then he said, I said, Son, best describes his humanity. I didn't say any such thing. I said, in his deity, he's the Son of God. In his humanity, he's the Son of David. That's what I said. Now get it right if you're going to quote me. And he said, he was going to tell us something about Hebrews 2. He never got around to it. He admitted the truth concerning the fact that I was one of many gospel preachers, said I was hedging. I didn't think I was hedging. Concerning the three human beings sharing human nature, he said he didn't understand John 17:20-21, and why I quoted it, and then turned right around when he got to John 17:20-21, and admitted that many could be one, even as the Father and the Son are one. Now, what did he do with my questions? Was the person named Jesus who died on the cross the one person in the Godhead? He said, yes, he was made flesh. Now, he's the one person in the Godhead that died on the cross. And yet that one person in the Godhead said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, when he came to that conversation, he said, you have the conversation between one God and one man. Now, Mr. Ferguson, are you trying to deceive this audience concerning your position? One time you say yes, and the next time you say no, he was a man. Is the Holy Spirit, whose name is Jesus, the Father, the Son, whose name is Jesus? Yes. How many Jesuses are there? Son, one. Father, two. He's got two who are named Jesus. And he admits the Son is one, the Father is two. Son is not the Father.
He said, I asked him, is the child born of Isaiah 9, 6, the everlasting Father? And he said, yes, it was the Father made flesh. And he concedes the proposition.
How beautiful.
Because he's denied that Jesus is God the Son. And he says the Son is flesh, and he denies that God is flesh, and yet he says, here the Father made flesh. Come on now, Mr. Ferguson, you have a lot of straightening out to do. Is it right to worship the Son of God? He says, yes. Why is it right to worship the Son? Because he's a mere man? He keeps telling you the Son is a man, you hear it? You have to listen closely. He doesn't want to be plain about it, but still that's what he believes. The Son is a man. But Jesus said, Matthew 4 and verse 10, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. If it's right to worship the Son, then you've conceded the proposition. The Son is God, and that's what you're denying tonight. Did the Son actually have glory with the Father before the world was created? He says yes, but he was not Son at the time. Then he didn't actually have glory, did he? He doesn't mean yes, he means no. But he says yes. Now, are you trying to confuse?
I just thought
he was not Son at the time.
Oh, no.
Well, Hebrews 7:3 says, made like unto the Son of God.
Neither
beginning of days nor end of life. Not the Son of the time. Then he wants me to fall into Ezekiel 1:26-28, and he says, that's just the appearance of glory. Well, I'll do to him what he did to me. Let's go to Ezekiel 43:4-7. Pay attention to that. There you have the Spirit in verse 5. You have the glory that spoke in verse 6, and you have the man in verse 6. You have three different ones. Did Ezekiel see God? He saw the man. And yet John 1:18 says, you have seen no man, no man has seen God at any time. Ezekiel saw the man, did he see God? Oh, it's not real, it's just an appearance. The Son of God abideth continually. The Son abideth forever, Jesus said of himself in John 8 and verse 35. Well, then he went through my charts. He says, concerning the three, he says, the Lord is the Spirit. Now, that didn't answer the one Spirit, the one Lord, and the one Father, did it? Chart number 3. He didn't answer that at all. You can see 1, 1, 1 there. The Lord is the Spirit. Now, he perverts that passage, and tomorrow night I'll follow him concerning his arguments and answer every one of them. But just let me suggest to you that the Holy Spirit and the Son are different. Else, you wouldn't be able to blaspheme the Son and not blaspheme the Spirit, or blaspheme the Spirit and not blaspheme the Son. Matthew 12:31-32. So, let him seek to try to confuse you. Now, what does the Son of God mean? Chart number 5. What did he say about it? Chart number 5. What did he say about it, ladies and gentlemen? He signed on to answer me, but he gave me a lot of things. He said, you answer me. I want you to lead. I want me to lead you to follow. He wants to rob me of the time. Why? Because he doesn't want to pay attention to that. He wants you to forget about it. What the Jews think the Son of God meant? Deity. They accused him of blasphemy because he said he was the Son of God. What does Mr. Ferguson say Son of God means? He says it means man. What did the apostles say it meant? It meant worship God, the Son of God. What did the angels say it meant? They said it meant superiority. To the Holy Spirit, it was eternity. That's why he won't pay attention to it. He didn't want Hebrews 7 and verse 3. That's a misprint. Verse 3 is what should be there. Hebrews 7, 3. To the believers, it meant salvation, except you believe that I am he. He ignored it. Okay, let's go to chart number 6. The Son speaks to the Father. And he said, well, that was the human soul speaking to the divine Spirit. Now stop and think about it. What does it say? Hebrews 10 and 5 says, when he cometh into the world. So here you have a baby talking to the Father, and you say he only has human knowledge? A baby saying, Father, a body thou hast prepared for me. Really? A baby? A human spirit talking to the Father when he comes into the world? Come now, Mr. Ferguson. Jesus had pre-existence. We'll show that in a few moments. Hebrews 7 and verse 3. And then he admits the truth about John 17:20-21, the one God. He says that's neuter. John 10:30-31, I am the Father one. That's also neuter. You've just destroyed the argument that these Pentecostals have been living by for many years. I am the Father one. And he says that's neuter, and that just means oneness of man. And incidentally, give us your authority for that. You just said it. Now, you may think you're authority, but I want to see some authority. Some authority for what you're saying about it. Okay, then concerning the crucifixion. You know what he said? One man and one God. One man and one God, he says. But then when he answered the question, he said, oh, no, that was a God. But now it's one man, one God, and the one man saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Let me see chart number 10. Chart number 10, and let's see if it's one man and one God. Chart number 10, the Son without the Father, mere man or God. Acts 20 and 28 speaks of the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. Who purchased with his own blood? Mere man? Revelation 1, verse 17 and 18. He said, and here's the Son of God speaking. Verse 13, you can identify him. He said, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Who was dead? First and the last. Mere man. Mere man. John 8 and 28. And when he was looking at the three distinct beings, he said, why, that's the Son. That's just a mere man. He's powerless. But look, John 8 and 28, then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am. Who is the I am? For Abraham was. He said in the same chapter, I am. Except you believe that I am he. Who is the I am? He's the one that was before Abraham. He said, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you'll know that I am, and that I do nothing of myself. So that man who says, I do nothing of myself, also said, when I'm lifted up, you'll know I am. It was on the cross that said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was God the Son. Mr. Ferguson, you don't need to lift up your heel to the Son of God. You need to lift up your hand to him. You need to lift up your hand and shake hands and say, yes, I believe he is God the Son. I hope before God, you'll confess that tonight and quit denying it as you did when you signed that proposition. If you didn't mean it, you can take it back. We'll let you take it back. We'll let you confess God the Son tonight. All right? And chart number 7. He says, oh, he said, that's not really three. In Matthew 3, 16 to 7, that's not really three. When you see Jesus as one, the Spirit as one, the voice from heaven as one, that's not really three. You're just deceived about that. It took that latter-day revelation to reveal that. And incidentally, what was that definition about revelation? Revelation is not revelation. Became a tenant of the faith doesn't mean become a tenant of the faith. And then Hebrews, the 4th chapter, in verses 4 and 5. Let me see chart number 20. Son glorified not himself. No, hold that. Let's don't use chart 20. Son glorified not himself. And then he starts talking. He said, well, all these passages are just simply talking about glorifying a man. Glorifying a man. Really? I didn't think that. I thought they were talking about glorifying a man as God is glorified. You know, Jesus said in John 8 and verse 54, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. In John 5 and verse 23, that all men should honor the Son as they honor the Father. Now, do you think a mere man could be honored as the Father's honored? Face that. In Acts 12 chapter, Herod honored himself as the Father was honored. He was struck with worms. In Isaiah 42 and 8, God said, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. And yet in Daniel 7, 13 and 14, the Son of Man came to the Ancient of Days and was given glory. As a man, can a man be glorified? Son is God. Son is God. And his glorification proves that. He said, the glory that I have with thee before the foundation of the world. But he said that wasn't real glory, not real. Okay? Hebrews 1 and 8. He says, that can be translated a couple of ways. Well, now, tell us where it's translated. Those two ways. Tell us the translation. Tell us the translation that says, God is thy throne. Now, if you don't, I'll help you in a little while. I'll give you the translation. But I want you to tell us the translation. And as you're retranslating the King James translation, I want you to watch behind you. Because there's a fellow in this audience that burns translations other than the King James translation. And you watch out. Because when you admit that it's the Living Bible that translates it that way, he's liable to burn you too. Tell us about that other translation. King James says, thy throne, O God. But he says, no, you can't trust your Bible. You're going to have me retranslate it. Well, let's hear about that other translation. Now we've got the glorification of the Son. Yes, As God was glorified. But God doesn't give his glory to another. He came to the Ancient of Days. He was glorified even with the glory that he had before the foundation of the world. And of the Son, as it said in Colossians 1, 13 through 17, of the dear Son, that he helped create all things in heaven and on earth. Who? The Son! That means 3 minutes left, right? In the speech. All right? Now let's give him some other things to work on. What did he say about chart number 8? Thomas confessed the faith. Jesus blessed the faith. The Scriptures teach the faith. One is denies the faith, and he ignores the chart. Chart number 9. If the Son is not God, the Son is not good. What did he say about that? He ignored it. Okay, let's see chart number 15. Let's give him some more to work on. Chart number 15. In the days of his flesh, he was born of a woman. As a son, he was sent by God, Galatians 4 and 4. In the days of his flesh, he came out of Bethlehem. And as a son, he was from everlasting, Micah 5 and verse 2. In the days of his flesh, he was born and died, Hebrews 7 3. But as a son, he had neither beginning nor end, Hebrews 7 3. In the days of his flesh, he advanced in wisdom and stature, Luke 5 52. But as a son, he emptied himself, Philippians 2 7. In the days of his flesh, he died. As a son, he was raised from the dead. In the days of his flesh, he lived 33 and a half years. But as a son, he abides forever, John 8 and verse 35. Then he says, oh, that's just human nature and divine nature. Well, let's look at chart number 14. You know what the Apostle Paul says of idols? The oneness Paul says of the Son. By nature, he's no God. That's not his nature. The Son, now tell us, is that the nature of the Son? Is he God by nature? Now let's go back to chart number 5. Chart number 5. What does the term Son of God mean? To the Jews, the deity. Blasphemy, they killed him. But if the oneness Paul had been there, he would have said, oh, no, no. That, he just saying, I'm a man when he says, I'm the Son of God. I'm just a mere man. You don't have to kill a mere man. They wouldn't have objected to that, Paul. To the apostles, it meant worship, not the Son of God. To the angels, it meant superiority. Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. To the Holy Spirit, it meant eternity, Hebrews 7 and verse 3. A Son abideth forever, neither beginning of days nor end of life. To the believers, it means salvation, except you believe that I am He. Believe that the one that was on the cross was God the Son, not a mere man. Now, Paul, don't lift up your heel to the Son of God like Judas did. Lift up your hand and shake hands with me and say, yes, I believe. I'm convinced He is indeed God the Son. He is indeed the Son of God. He said, I don't deny the deity of the Son of God, but I deny that He's the Son of God. I deny that He's God the Son. I don't deny His deity, but I deny that He's God the Son. Incidentally, he mentioned the Holy Spirit.
Jigs up now, Hark Rider. Now listen, I didn't know he was the Son of God or I wouldn't have lifted up my heel against him. I apologize for that. But I'm not denying, I never did deny the deity of God made flesh, my friend. But what I did deny is your warped idea about the definition of the term. And this is what I'm denying. Now he said that he teaches that the term Son was begotten by the Father. It was begotten by another being. And in other words, all that Jesus owes to being God, all that he, all his power, all his omnipresence, all his omniscience, he got from some other fella. Now it looks like to me, he's the one that's denying the deity of Jesus Christ because he says he got it from another. Got it from somebody else. Isn't God on his own right, but some fellow loaned him his deity. Got it from somebody else. He's the one that's denying the proposition that he signed himself. trying to shake hands with me. And he's moaning and groaning because he's got an answer. Well, I got news for you, fella. Even though you're in the affirmative, when you get your doctrine tore up, you're supposed to try to build it back up. But he's trying to run on this day of I begotten thee, because Jesus Christ wasn't a son before he was born, and there's no such thing as a father as old as his son. And he went to a figurative meaning in Acts 13 and 33. And he's off the beam on that. Because it says this promise in verse 32. Said the promise that was made to the fathers, he hath fulfilled to us, their children. And you'll find out what the promise was. The promise. It's the one that he's already referred to. He said that thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, is the promise. And the promise he mentioned is in verse 23 of Acts, that of the seed of David, of this man's seed, according to promise, he would bring to Israel a Savior, Jesus. Now, the word raise up is used as in Matthew 22, where Jesus was telling the people Sadducees were telling about this fellow that would raise up seed to his brothers, and wasn't talking about the resurrection at all. And he's proving two things that he's taught in his sermon. In verse 33, he's proving about the birth of Jesus, the promise according to the seed, verse 23, Acts 13, 23. And in verse 34, he introduces new material, and he says, but as to the fact that he raised him up from the dead, and he's about to see corruption no more, then he quotes another verse, Psalm 16. So he's off the beam on that. He's trying to wiggle out of that. This day have I begotten thee. Hebrews 1:5. I will be to him a son. He wasn't a son before he was born. And Mr. Harkrider knows it. And he talks about humanity and deity. And he wants to say, when I do it, that I'm denying the deity of the Son of God. And he does the same thing. I guess I ought to shake hands with him. Birds of a feather flock together. Because he's a kid who can't say blackie to the pot. But he said, I ignored John, or Hebrews 7 and 13. I didn't ignore it. I didn't have time to get this chart because he used up the time he was supposed to reply to my questions in. And I'll go to his chart 5 now. Put chart 5 up on the screen. And he's trying to, of course, pile up these things where I won't have time to answer, but I've replied to everything he's put up there. All right, he's proved that the Jews are on his side. And the unbelieving Jews, and he's done a good job in that. And I told you that Jesus Christ was God made flesh, the Son was God made flesh, and there's nothing wrong with worshiping the Son of God. And he got Hebrews 1, 4 and 5 on there, and he can't answer that. This day, it was a day in time. He says for eternity, and we're faced with a choice, either taking Harkrider or Hebrews. Harkrider says that he authored the Son's deity from eternity, and that there was a Son as old as his Father. And then he's got made likened to the Son of God. Well, that means made likened to the Son of God in that he has an endless priesthood. And doesn't refer to the without father and without mother. He's comparing that to Melchizedek. And, of course, that was used in the Greek papyrus of somebody that didn't have a clear genealogy. And then he got to Hebrews 8:24, and he can't answer that. I told him about all those Hebrews verses there that said the Son was taught his doctrine. And I said, how was that, Mr. Hartgrind? And he said, it's according to humanity. But if I say it, I'm denying the deity of Jesus Christ, and I'm some terrible black criminal. But, so he don't have nothing, and he's just up there chomping his gums. But he didn't, did you hear him talk about verse 40? It says, me, a man who has spoken to you the word of God, the word that I was taught, and he can't reply to that. He has no answer to that. And we don't call him a mere man. Every time he does that, he's misrepresenting me. All right, let's get some of his things that he had to say up here. And he said, in reply to one of my questions, that as to deity, Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And as to humanity, he was the Son of David. And then if I do things like that, he's got one man and one God there, and I do things like that, and I'm denying the deity here. Well, let's get some of his things here. And I want to sign when I got 10 minutes here. Let's get his chart 9 up there. He said, I ignored it, and I didn't ignore it. I replied to it, and I made an argument on it that one was masculine. And that when one is masculine, that it refers to persons, and when it was neuter, it refers to things or concepts or ideas. Well, Mr. Huckrider, I didn't think I needed an authority to show that it means things, and masculine he means a person. I figured people knew that, but I can give you authority of A.T. Robertson if you need to know that. And he wanted, speaking of authorities on Hebrews 1 and 8, what translation? Well, I told you, A.T. Robertson in his Word Studies and his Historical Grammar said that in the Greek it could go either way, and Westcott said the same thing, and he made no fail to make any reply to this. And God, this verse right here teaches God is one person, and overthrows his proposition. If he had just brought this one child here tonight, he would have committed theological suicide and blew himself up. It should say on this chart will self-destruct in 5 seconds. All right, let's get his chart 6 and 7, and this is all about all he had that was worth anything in the way of an argument here tonight. And I'm going to try to get to these things as quickly as possible here. And his chart 6 up there, the son speaks to the father. All right, he made a stress on the word baby there, wherefore when he cometh into the world. Well, in John 17:18, it says, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. Now, Mr. Huckrider, were the disciples babies? Were they, in the book of Acts, were they crawling into the world as babies? I want you to tell us about that. And then I'll let you shake my foot again. And I didn't know you was the Son of God. I'm sorry about that. All right. Now, he's got one man and one God. What did he say about Job 10 and 12? Now, Mr. Hockrider, when you get yourself tore up, you're supposed to try to patch it up. I'm sorry about that. And I never seen a fella crying like this that he had to answer and reply. But when you get your arguments knocked down, you're supposed to put them back up, but he don't want nobody to notice that they got knocked down. But the skin and the flesh and the bones and the sinew is not the me that Job was fenced with. Neither is the body and the me the same. But the body is the flesh of Jesus Christ, and the me is his human soul. And I already answered his stuff on John 17 and 21, and he didn't say anything about Mark 12:32, where the scribe said that God is one, he is one, and there is none other but he. Well, I'm doing a lot of this reading out of the Greek text, and if he wants to tell me what's wrong with these translations, he was griping about translations, and if somebody wants to burn them, if they'll give me the publication price, be my guest. But you take... he's complaining about it, and groaning about it, and moaning about it, and crying about it, but he don't ever tell me what's wrong with it. Tell me what's wrong with it, Huckrider, and then you'll have a point. But he's just throwing up a lot of smoke here. And he wants to know where authority, that where it is a thing, and he is a person. My Lord, have mercy. Well, then he went back to, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And I read to him in Psalms 22, where it says, they cast lots from my garments. It was a prophecy of what Jesus would say on the cross. And he failed to take up this verse 10, where it says, thou hast been my God from my mother's womb. Mr. Huckrider believes he's been his God from eternity. And then we're faced with a choice between Huckrider and the Bible again. And he didn't reply to any of these things in Psalm 16 on this resurrection. And when I'm tearing these things down, it's the same as the rest of them. You tear one down, you tear them all. They're all as easy. But thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. It's speaking about to Jesus Christ, not Jesus Christ talking. And I read to you in there some references to the human nature, Psalm 16, verses 8 and 11. I didn't hear any reply to that. In order to reply to Acts 2:25, listen for it when you come. And, of course, he talks about the glory in the book of Ezekiel, and he failed to say whether the glory was a misrepresentation. And I want to put my chart 6. All right, now, my chart 6. I want to... Chart 7. That's all right, because it shows Robertson and the page numbers. Get my chart 7 up there. My chart 7. All right, this is what the appearance of the glory was in verse 28. And he never did reply to that. He runs another verse. It says, such was the appearance of the glory. It was a figure of a man on a throne. One man on one throne. fire and radiance around him. Ezekiel 1:26-28. Now the Hebrews calls this the exact representation of his nature. And what I want to know tonight, maybe you'll answer it tomorrow, did Ezekiel misrepresent the nature of God? Did he misrepresent it? And he went to Ezekiel 43:4-7, where it talks about the glory of God came and the Spirit lifted. Well, I told him that's the power of God. That's the finger of God. Matthew 12:28 and Luke 11:20. That's the power of God. And the power of God and the figure like a man are not two persons. And he can't make that two persons. And then I heard one speaking to me from a house while a man was standing beside me. And he hasn't got three persons there. He's got another man. Maybe he thinks there's two human beings in the Godhead. Let's get his chart 7 up there on the screen real fast. His chart number 7. And, you know, he's trying to fly by all of these things and just to introduce as many arguments as possible, so he thinks I won't have time to answer them, and then he don't go back and defend them. And I said John didn't recognize the Messiah. He didn't know him from any other man on the street. He was promised a visible sign, and God gave him a visible sign and an audible sign, but it was one man and one God. When I said, he says he's denying the deity. When he says it, it's all right. It's fine and good. And I talked about the Hebrews 1:5, and I showed the application that it's there in a human being, God a divine being, and Jesus as a human being, and God a divine being there. He's got one man and one God. He did not show how he had two divine beings there. And you Church of Christ folks can't go home tonight and look in your Bibles where he showed that was two divine beings, where he gave the verse, and I gave Hebrews 5:9, where it said he made the Son perfect, and he didn't reply to that. If it's the divine beings, then one of them was imperfect being. And then he talked about, sit thou on my right hand until I whip up on you, your enemies. And he didn't tell how, if Jesus is a person in the Godhead, how that would be. All right. And I already dealt with this over here. In his chart 8, he's got the psalmist saying, my Lord and my God, and I believe that. I wouldn't deny that. Get his chart 3 up here. He didn't reply to these scriptures in the chart 3. Instead, he introduced another argument. That's the way he replies, by moving on to another argument. Play a little traveling music for him. How much time have I got?
5.5 minutes.
He went, instead of replying to 2 Corinthians 3:17, John 4:24, these other verses, he went to the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. Well, the Holy Ghost must be greater than the Son then, if it's a sin to blaspheme him, but no sin to blaspheme the Son. And what it was, you couldn't recognize from just seeing that the Son of God was God made flesh. And so they excuse him because he was God that hideth himself, as Isaiah 45:15 says. All right, let's get to some more of his charts. With his charts, I don't need mine. I can teach the truth from his. Chart 10. His chart 10. Get it up there. And how much time have I got?
4.5 minutes.
All right. And here he's got some arguments that he's made for me here. Church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. And I agree that God made flesh, purchased the Church of God. And Hebrews 10:10 said, by which will we are sanctified through the body of Jesus Christ. And Mr. Hartcrider would rebuke the writer of Hebrews for that. And in Revelation there, he's got, I mean, that liveth and was dead, and the first and the last. And up there, and what did the first and the last say? The first and the last said, I am God, and there is none else. In Isaiah 44:6, he's doing real good tonight. And John 8:28, he's got up there, the Father has taught me. Now, how did the Father teach him? Was he so stupid as a person in the Godhead? He didn't know his own doctrine. The Father had to get behind a tree and tell him what to say. And he didn't answer verse 40, where it says, me, a man that spoke to you the word that he learned from the Father. That he was commanded from the Father. Put his chart 15 up here. Put his chart 15 up here. In the days of his flesh means human flesh. He's acting like he don't have flesh no more. He's got glorified flesh now. Acts 2:30 says, of the fruit of your body I will raise up to sit on his throne. Now the fruit of David's body is sitting on the throne tonight, and Jesus Christ has flesh. Born of a woman, sent by God, I don't deny that, never have. From everlasting, that refers to his deity. And neither beginning nor end is referring to his deity of the Son of God. He was God made flesh, but we speak of the president was governor of Georgia, but he wasn't son, you see, until he was born. And the president wasn't president when he was governor of Georgia. He advanced in wisdom of stature. I said that, and he explains that as the human and the divine nature. And all right, I'll get my chart too up here.
Two and a half minutes.
All right, Son of God, strange God or perfect man, he was given life by the Father. Said, I live by the Father. The Father has life in himself, so has he given the Son to have life in himself. Now, was that as a person in the Godhead, or was that as a man? I want him to answer this. He said, the Son can do nothing of himself. Was that as a man, or was that as God? And he said he was given his doctrine. We already talked about that. He was given his disciples. As a man in the flesh. And no man can come to me except the Father draw him. But then he said in John 12:32, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. He spoke that of his deity. He was both man and God. And his commission, he didn't come of himself, but he was sent. And that was as a man, not as a person in the Godhead. And perfection we've already talked about. And the Son called the Father the only true God. And he can't explain why he didn't call, he couldn't be the only gospel preacher since he shares the essence. He couldn't show how if three divine beings share divine nature, why they're not three gods like three men that share human nature. He didn't reply to that, and he's got to get his proposition off the ground. He's got to explain these things. Get my chart 5 up here.
1 minute.
He talked a little bit about Philippians 2:6-9. And he acted like that the Son just emptied himself of the deity and then took it back. He said there wasn't any flesh anymore. He implied in that chart in the days of his flesh, maybe he's the one that thinks the Son is obsolete. Maybe he ought to go shake hands with some of my brethren. He seems to know quite a bit about my brethren. Maybe he's fellowshipping some of them that I don't know about. But you see, he didn't answer this 1 Corinthians 15:28, where it says, when the Father whips up on the Son's enemies, that the Son is going to be subjected, that God may be all in all. If that's talking about the Son as God, then it means that as God, he's going to be nothing at all. And this verse here, I've tried to analyze, but I'm not going to have time to go through this chart. Maybe I'll be able to pick it up on the next time around. But that wasn't as his deity, because it says he who comes from above is above all, John 3:31.
Gentlemen moderators, Mr. Ferguson, ladies and gentlemen, it's a pleasure to stand before you again in defense of the faith once for all delivered into the saints and against the latter-day revelation. He's had very little to say about that latter-day revelation. It's been an embarrassment to him. He signed the proposition because of the latter-day revelation, but he's tried ever since to tell you that that's not really what he means. He doesn't really mean that God, Jesus is not God the Son, but that's what he signed. He doesn't really deny the deity of the Son, but that's what he signed. He don't want to shake hands about it. He said, oh, no, I'll give you my healing. And I didn't know you were the Son of God. Now, let me tell you something. I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God. But I am a mere man. Now, according to his viewpoint, I'm as much the Son of God as was Jesus as a mere man. He can lift up his heel against me. He can lift up his heel against the mere man. Call the Son of God. I don't buy that, not for a moment. I don't put myself on the par with the Son of God. Not for a moment. And when you lifted up your heel, you lifted up your heel because you wouldn't shake hands. That Jesus is God the Son, and you did not lift up your heel against me. You lifted your heel up against the only begotten Son of God, and may God have mercy on your soul for doing so. For someday, dear friend, you'll stand in the presence of God and wish you'd shaken hands that he was God the Son. You'll wish that you'd confessed his deity, for whosoever confesseth not the Son of God hath not God. 1 John 4. And verse 15, except you believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. John 8 and verse 24. It'd be a joke, but it's not very funny to deny the Son of God and lift up your heel against him. Okay, let me see his chart, G5.
Now, what he wants to do is explain away Philippians 2, 6 through 9. And this is how he does it. He says it doesn't really mean this, but let me read to you rather than the chart. You just listen to the language of Philippians 2, 6 through 9. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, counted not the being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant and being made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death, yea, the death of the cross. Wherefore God highly exalted him, and gave unto him the name that is above every name. That in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess Jesus Christ as Lord to the glory of God the Father. Won't you do that tonight? Won't you confess Jesus as Lord? Won't you confess that one you say as a mere man, as God the Son? You denied it. You signed a proposition to deny it. And the Scriptures take care of that garble. That's all he's trying to do. He's trying to confuse you tonight. You know why? You know why he's trying to confuse you? Let me tell you. Let me see chart concerning the quote from Rees. We can't chart number 19. We can't understand the Scriptures. He said the variety and diversity of God's self-revelation forces him to use language that may seem to imply plurality of persons. That's on page 29. But he says it's only when we search for the reality behind the words used that understanding can be attained. Page 30. What's he saying? You can't understand your Bible. It takes an interpretation. Now, he had to interpret that creed book for you. You couldn't understand that when he said Latter-day Revelation coming. And now he's got to interpret the Bible. You can't understand it. You can't read it. When he says, thy throne, O God, it doesn't really mean that, does it? Doesn't really mean thy throne, O God. Hebrew chart G6. Hebrews 1 and 8. Two possible translations, he says. Two possible translations. Well, where did those translations come from? Well, he said A.T. Robertson. A.T. Robertson didn't put out a translation. Well, he said, let's try Westcott's translation. Well, do you know that Westcott translated John 1 and 18 as the only God, only begotten? And the New American Standard translation translates it also that way. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. That's in the oldest manuscript. Westcott says that. Now, you like Westcott? Do you like Westcott? You want Westcott on that? John 1 and 18? You take Hebrews 1 and 8 and he gives me John 1 and 18. No, by of the Son, he said. But he said, well, he said, I'll pay for those translations if you want to burn them. Let's look at some of those translations. He's having some difficulty telling us where Hebrews 1 and 8 really means thy throne, O God, or God is thy throne. Now, in the King James translation, it says thy throne, O God. The American Standard translation says that. The New American Standard, the Revised Standard, the New Berkeley Version, the Amplified Bible, the New English Bible, and on and on and on and on. But who is it that says, God is thy throne? Let's help him out. Let's help him. Look here, the New World Translation. You know who made that one? Jehovah's Witnesses. And what did they say? But with reference to the Son, God is your throne. Not thy throne, O God. There he is. There he is. That's chart number 11, if you'd like to say. We'll loan you a New World Translation. Now he's found the authority. The Living Bible says it, too. And the New World Translation. And why? Because they both are infidels where the deity of the Son of God is concerned. That's why the Jehovah's Witnesses translate it that way. They don't believe in the deity of the Son of God. And that's why Mr. Ferguson is following that kind of translation, because he doesn't believe in the deity of the Son of God, despite all that he's trying to say to weasel out of it. Now let me see chart number 15. Well, he said he agrees with this. If he does, then he surrenders his proposition. Because this shows the Son of God before his birth. And then he argued all the time about his birth. He says this, Hebrews 7 and 3, he says that neither beginning nor end. He said that's talking about priesthood. Melchizedek had an eternal priesthood. No beginning to that priesthood and no end to that priesthood. But let me see the text of Hebrews 7 and 3. Maybe he ought to look at Hebrews 7 and 3. Was
Christ made like Melchizedek? Or was Melchizedek made like Christ? Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but what? But made like unto Melchizedek? No, made like unto the Son of God. Anybody can read that. Look at it up in the New World Translation. Maybe there's a different translation there, and you can. Maybe they'll help you out with that one. Maybe the New World Translation, Jehovah's Witnesses agree with you. Maybe they can help you out on that one. Now he says in Acts 2 and verse 27, that's David talking about, my soul is not left in Hades. That's David. But the Holy Spirit says in verse 31, that speaking of Christ, that he, Christ, was not left in Hades. He is his flesh seeker. Oh, so that's just David speaking. That's infidelity. Infidelity gone to seed. He said, well, where have you ever heard of a son that's old as his father? Where have you ever heard of a father without a son? I didn't become a father before I had a son or a daughter, a child. You can't be a father without a child. But he said, how have you ever heard of a son as old as his father? Have you ever heard of a father without parents? Does that mean the eternal father has parents? Is he an eternal father? Does he have an eternal son? Hebrews 7, verse 3. He didn't like that, but it's there. And he says in Acts 13:33, he says, that begettal there, it's not talking about the resurrection. Well, let's just read it again. I have to make clear that which he perverts in Acts the 13th chapter in verse 33. And God had fulfilled the same unto our children in that he raised up Jesus, as also it is written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Now the Holy Spirit says it was fulfilled in the resurrection of Christ. Paul Ferguson says that it wasn't. And you can take your choice. You can listen to the Spirit that walks in this man, or you can listen to the Spirit of God that wrote the Scriptures. And all week long, you're going to hear that contrast. Now, if you want to blindly follow a man, then you can. He said, oh, that's just the finger of God. The Holy Spirit is just the finger of God. That's all it is. Except, let's see, he that is born of the finger is finger. Is that right? He that's born of the Spirit is Spirit. Now, all Spirit is just the finger of God. That's all that means. Just the finger of God. God is a finger because God is a Spirit. Now, what are you trying to do? You trying to render the Word of God ridiculous? You ought to be ashamed of yourself for such a perversion of Scripture. And then in Ezekiel 1, 26-28, he said, this explains away. John 17 and verse 5, where Jesus said, I had glory with you before the world was. And it's explained by Ezekiel. And Ezekiel doesn't even, he's got to prove that Ezekiel speaks of the Son. And then he assumes the Son didn't actually exist. He just runs to find, he might as well run to the Book of Mormons and read a verse and said, here's what explains it. He didn't make any relationship between Ezekiel and John 17. It's still there. It still says what it said to begin with. The glory I had with you before the foundation or before the world was. I had it with you. Did he? Did he not? Mr. Ferguson says he did not. He didn't have it. Well, let's look at chart number 21. He said, why anybody that is in the Pentecostal oneness says that the Son of God became obsolete, I'm going to have a debate with him. Well, okay, it's quite all right. If you want to have a debate, he'd probably eat you up. It's Gordon McGee in his book, Is Jesus in the Godhead or the Godhead in Jesus? And really, you do have something to debate him about, because he doesn't think what you think about this Godhead proposition. We'll look at that tomorrow night. But he says, very reverently, I don't know how he could say this is reverence, but he says, very reverently, I say, it will have become obsolete. What? The sonship ministry of Jesus Christ. It'll become obsolete after the millennium. Obsolescence of the Son of God. For shame. God says concerning his Son that he's eternal. God says you're to honor the Son as you honor him. What does Mr. Ferguson say about it? Oh, no, he's not God the Son. I'll lift up my heel against him. I won't shake hands that he's God the Son. I'll give you my heel. You're not giving the heel to me. You're giving it to God the Son.
when you won't shake hands, that he is the Son of God. And you may lie. You may find it funny. But when you find yourself before the throne of God and face that kind of statement, it'll not be funny then. It'll not be funny then. There'll be no laughing matter then to deny the deity of the only begotten Son of God. Okay, let's go back through and look at some of the things that he tried to garble concerning man. He wants to get into let me see chart number 5. What does the Son of God mean? He said, well, Hart Crider and the Jews agree. Yes. Yes, at that point we do agree. We agree that the term Son of God means the deity of the Son. Jesus said it was blasphemy. I say it was the truth. Mr. Ferguson agrees with the Jews that if he had been claiming to be God the Son, he should have been stoned. But Mr. Ferguson said he wasn't really claiming that. If Mr. Ferguson had been on the scene, he'd have said, oh, well, when he says he's the Son of God, he's just claiming to be a mere man, that's all. Come on, fellas, just understand he's just a man. You don't need to stone him to death for being just a man. But they said he's committed blasphemy. The apostle said he's worthy of worship. Why? It's the Son, the Son of God. And they worshiped him because he was the Son. Why? Did Jesus receive worship if he was not God the Son? The Holy Spirit says he's eternal. Mr. Ferguson says that's not what that means. Hebrews 7 and 3. One is say he's a mere man. Okay, let me see chart number 10. You know, a little while ago, on chart number 6, when he looked at the crucifixion, he said, Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He says, as a man, he was speaking to God. As a man, he was speaking to God. And now, what did he do? He came up here and he reversed himself. He's in, he's out, he's all about. Now you see him, now you don't. He's up, he's down, he's all around. He's everywhere. Why? Why does he have to do that? Why can't he speak plainly? Why can't he say what he means? Because he's got a latter-day revelation to defeat. And he knows if you ever find out the truth about his doctrine, it'll be a stench in your nostrils, and you'll leave him. And so he's got to keep you in the dark. It was a mere man, but now when he comes face to face with these scriptures, he says, oh no, I'll admit his deity now. I'll admit his deity when it's convenient. But it was that man lifted on the cross that said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That said, when I'm lifted up, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. That man that emptied himself and did nothing of himself is he that was lifted up on the cross that said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Don't you want to shake hands? Or do you want to lift up your heel against that? Lift up your heel against the Son of God. Lift up your heel against God the Son. You ought to be ashamed. Lifting up your heel against the only begotten Son of God. Well, he says that concerning glorification. You know, he's got a man. He's got a man glorified even as God is glorified. John 5:23, that all men should honor the Son, mere man, even as they honor the Father. Now, if that were true, that he's just a mere man, then he'd be eaten with worms just like old Herod was for accepting the honor and glory of God, because God doesn't give his glory to another. Isaiah 42 and verse 8. Now he says concerning, let me see chart number 9. He says, I've answered this by saying that it's masculine there. Now that's really the answer, isn't it? It's masculine there. Jesus said, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. He said, that's masculine. If the Son is not God, the Son is not good. He says, that's just one person there. That's masculine. That's masculine. And he says his authority is A.T. Robertson. We'll have more time to talk about this tomorrow night. Read to me out of A.T. Robertson where he says that. Read it. Read where he says that. I want to hear that exact quote. Incidentally, Jesus in the masculine refers to himself as one. You know, in Romans 3 and verse 10, it says, there is none righteous, no, not one. And that's masculine. Not one person is righteous. If Jesus is a person, and he said that he was, then he's not righteous. Not one person is righteous. And yet, the Bible calls him the Holy and Righteous One. The Holy and Righteous One. That's masculine. Acts 7 and verse 52. One Lord. one Lord, and one God. The holy and righteous one, masculine. Acts 22 and verse 14. Okay? Then let's see chart, well, we looked at chart number 15. Let's see chart number 12 and 13. Did the Son have two natures, human and divine, or was He two beings, Son and Father? Now, that's what He's been saying all night. He's two beings, Son and Father. Man sometimes, God sometimes. But He had two natures, human and divine. Now, let's see number 13. Peter partook of two natures. He was Jewish and divine. He partook of a divine nature. In 2 Peter 1 and verse 4, was he two beings because he partook of two natures? I believe the two natures of the Son of God. I believe he was man, the seed of David. I believe he was God, the Son of God. He says, oh, no, he is not God the Son. Don't let him deceive you. Let me read to you again the proposition that he signed. The Scriptures teach that Jesus is God the Son. And he says, no. The Scriptures teach that Jesus is God the Son. And he says, no. And what did he say about Thomas? Chart number 8, my Lord and my God. What did Thomas see? Thomas saw the crucified Son of God. He confessed the faith. Jesus said, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. Jesus blessed the faith. Blessed are those that have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus blessed the faith. Scriptures teach the faith. These are written that you might believe. Believe what? Jesus is the Son of God. Lord and God is the Son of God? Yes. And yet the one that denies the faith. Won't you shake hands on it, or do you want to lift up your heel against the Son of God? Don't you want to shake hands that you believe that He is the only begotten Son of God, and God the Son? Is that it? Thank you very much for your presence and your kind attention.
Now, we're having a great time tonight. This fella, at first I said I didn't know you was the Son of God, and I didn't know He was God the Son. I said, I'm lifting up my heels to God the Son. And he tried to patch it over. He said, I'm just a son of God or a child of God. And, of course, I can't accept that because he hasn't been born of the water and of the Spirit. And when we get him through to the birth of the water and the Spirit, then I'll shake hands with him and I won't give him my foot then. And he said, I'm denying the Son of God and calling him a mere man. And he's never heard me say anything like that. He's never heard me say, call the Son of God a mere man. And he can't play it on the tape where I called him a mere man. And he ought to be honest enough to apologize. He's misrepresented me continually, through and through and through. He must really be hungry for converts trying to twist things like that's all I got to say for him. He said, I'm denying the Son of God. Well, Mr. Hackrider, I want you to know that 2 John verse 7 said many deceivers are gone out in the world who deny Jesus has come in the flesh. He said the one that denies Jesus has come in the flesh, this is an antichrist and this is a deceiver. And this is the antichrist over there because he is trying to get away from this flesh part, but it's the thing that destroys his doctrine. You people cannot go home tonight, you Church of Christ people, and read where your representative gave the verse for two divine beings. All you can read is one man and one God. And that really gets him, I'll tell you. Get his chart 12 up there. Get his chart 12 up here. He didn't answer this stuff about his three God doctrine either, how three human beings that share human nature can be three men. Three divine beings that share the divine nature, they're not three gods. I know he don't actually claim to believe that, but his position leads to that, and if your position leads to that, you ought to drop your position and change to something else and shake hands with me. He can come up here and shake hands with me, and I'll get him and baptize him in Jesus' name, then he'll be a child of God. Get the Holy Ghost. All right, calm down now. I don't need no help. Did the Son have two natures, human and divine? Yes, he did. Or was he two beings? Now, Hackrider, not according to you. Not according to you, not according to your definition of a being, which is an entity, and that's something with separate existence, Webster's Dictionary said. And I read to you the scripture where Jesus said, and you didn't answer it either. You can't answer it with a grin. You can kind of draw attention away from it. But I read to you the scripture and flashed them up on the chart, and he never mentioned a thing about them. In John 5 and 6, where Jesus said, I live by the Father. And the Father has life in Himself. He gave Him the Son to have life in Himself. He's not a separate existence He doesn't have a separate existence, therefore they're not separate beings, the Son and the Father, according to David Harkrider's definition. You didn't know we'd catch you on that, did you? He thought he'd read that real fast and we wouldn't notice that. Chart 13, you tripped your own self up. You're in a mess tonight. And I don't know if your brethren will even shake hands with you tonight, much less Pentecost, but I'll shake hands with him tonight. I feel sorry for him. I wish he was a child of God. But Peter partook of two natures, and he's trying to make that a parallel to the law. My Lord, have mercy. That doesn't even deserve an answer. That answers itself. Peter, nowhere in the Bible where you can read where it says, in Peter dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Nowhere in the Bible can you read where Peter said, I am God and there's none else. Nowhere in the Bible can you read where Peter said, I'm the first and the last. Dear Lord, have mercy. Chart 21. Now, Mr. Harkrider, I can see why you'd want to get away from Ferguson and get on to McGee. He's supposed to be debating me, signed on me. He wants to get to McGee, get to my brethren here. And he never answered McGee's arguments. Now, why didn't you answer McGee when you put him up there? You're supposed to answer your charts. I know he won't answer my material, but he ought to answer his arguments that he makes. He ought to answer his own messes and blunders and where he's all goofed up here. He said, he quoted that verse about the days of his flesh. In the days of his flesh, in that chart that I'm fixing to put up on here, and he implied that he didn't have flesh anymore. Maybe you're the one that's saying the Son is obsolete. Maybe you and McGee ought to shake hands instead of Ferguson and Harkrider. And I said, Acts 2:30, the fruit of your body will raise up to sit on your throne. He still has glorified flesh. He's still the fruit of David's body. And did you hear him say anything about that? Why, no. Get his chart 15 on that. Now, before you go on that chart 21, he's got the 1 Corinthians 15:28 on there, where it says the Son is going to be subject to the Father, that God may be all in all. Now, if that's talking about the deity, then that means the deity of the Son is going to be nothing. And according to him, somebody else authored his deity. What do you say about that? Where he's denying the Son of God. It says, he that made deceivers are going out in the world. He that denied Jesus Christ come in the flesh is a deceiver and antichrist. I can throw a few things in, too, if you want to do it like that. Give his chart 15 on the screen. It ain't worth looking at, but we put it up there so we won't cry about it. How much time have I got?
14 minutes.
He didn't answer these things that are on his chart. Arguments made for me. And part of most of it I don't deny. I told him from everlasting referred to his deity. And he made a play on Hebrews 7:3. And he failed to read the verse, which I did when I was referring to it. Read the full verse of Hebrews 1:3. Without father, without mother. I said that was used in the papyrus of people that didn't have definite genealogies. And it says, without genealogy in the New American Standard Bible. And he didn't use the King James. He was using an American Standard or something up there. I know he was. So we'll burn, this fellow burn both our Bibles. Having neither beginning of days nor end of life. But made like the Son of God, he abides a priest continually. That's where he's made like the Son of God. He abides a priest continually. He didn't get his priesthood taken away, and the Son of God didn't get his priesthood taken away. Talking about Melchizedek, according to verse 1. Which he couldn't answer if he had a gun pointed to his head. You have to pull the trigger. All right. Then he's got John 8:35, but he can't answer that, folks. He didn't answer this verse 30, which says, me, a man that has spoken to you, the word he learned from his father. Chart 11. Get his chart 11 up there. Chart 11. He got the Jehovah Witnesses up here. Get my... I don't care if the Jehovah Witnesses agree. Jehovah Witnesses believe there's a God. Does that mean we're both Jehovah Witnesses? Get my chart 5 up there. My chart 5 up there. He put this on the screen, but he did not reply to it. And he said that the Westcott in one place... I'm going to mention this when we get my chart 6 on there next. I'll tell you about Westcott. But he said a mere man, and he wasn't reading the King James. He didn't reply to this. And Thayer's translation, the Greek lexicon on page 418, has what I've got up on the chart. And I've got the the Greek passages from the authorities up here who substantiate this, and the Thayer's translation has the same thing I have on the chart, who, although he bore the form of God, yet he did not think this equality with God was to be eagerly clung to, but emptied himself of it so as to assume the form of a servant, and that he became likened to man. And I said, this is not equality as a separate person, because it's neuter plural. And instead of facing the argument, he just waved at the chart and went on. I get my chart 6 on here. He didn't tell me what was wrong with it. He just made light and said, you're with the Jehovah's Witnesses, put a tag on me so people will be afraid of me. That's a really answering argument. That's really a good job. He's doing fine tonight. John, and he said, Westcott. You got Westcott up here. What translation? Westcott. And I read from the authorities over here where Robertson said it's all right from the Greek to do it that way. And he, instead of answering it, he made another argument. That's the way he answers stuff. That's the way he defends his material, by making another argument. And he's like the Jehovah's Witnesses in that, because if you put them down in one place, they'll say, let's go to another. And we got Mr. Hartrider now with the Jehovah's Witnesses. In John 1:18, he's got the only begotten God. But I'll tell you what's wrong with that. There's other meanings that are just as well, that can just as well be used. In the Harmon Gingrich Lexicon, page 529, it translates that the only God. Try only God, Mr. Hartrider. And Ernest Gingrich goes on to say, unique in kind. Try unique in kind. In fact, try this translation. No man has seen God, no man has understood God at any time. God is unique. God is only one of a kind. The only, one that's in the bosom of the Father explained it. Try that translation, and instead of making another argument, tell me what's wrong with it. Instead of, how much? I didn't need the first 10. I could have quit now and give him a free speech. Put his chart 19 up there. Chart 19. Arkwright's chart 19 up there. And he's... I wanted to say a few things about... He got Reeves up here. He's debating Reeves now, trying to get the heat off himself and going into Reeves here. Well, you're debating me, and I demand your attention. And Reeves don't have anything to do about this. Turn in your Bibles before I forget this. I want to go to Acts 13:33, where he tried to get off the hook on his eternal sonship by making begot be figurative. It's not a literal begotting, it's just figurative. And I want to read this and show you exactly what it means. Acts 13:33, and I want to get Daniel 7, because he introduced it, and I want to deal with it before we go here tonight. Acts 13:33, that God fulfilled this promise. What promise? Verse 23 says, from the offspring of this man according to promise. God has brought to Israel a Savior. And that's the promise. The birth of Jesus Christ was the promise. What did he say about verse 23? Not one thing at all. In that he raised up Jesus. And I said, that's like to raise up seed to the man's brother, as the Sadducees said in Matthew 22. What did he say about that? He said, well, I don't like to answer. And when my arguments get tore up, I don't like to look at them, because it makes me feel bad. And that's, of course, he didn't say it in those words, but that's what it amounted to. As it is written in 2 Samuel, my son, this day have I begotten thee. Verse 34 says, and as for the fact that he raised him up from death, he's changing the subjects, Mr. Hartrider. New American Standard saw that, but you didn't. And verse 34, and there's no figure to it. This day have I begotten thee. He wasn't a son before he was born. He was begotten on a definite day in eternity. This day have I begotten thee. No wonder he wants to make it figurative, because it tears his doctrine up. And he didn't show this. I want his chart 6. He didn't put that back up here, but I want to see it. This is, he's got a whole string of arguments, and he should have went back and defended these, and I'm going to show you what he's got up here, just like all the rest of his stuff. And while we're looking at that, let's turn back to Daniel 7. He made a big play on the Son of Man and the Ancient of Days, trying to get two persons out of that, and that's not two persons, because let me show you something. Daniel 7:22 says, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was passed in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time arrived when the saints took possession of the kingdom. The Son of Man is the people of God, as
Exodus said, let my firstborn go. Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And verse 22 in this chapter, Daniel 7:22 says, until the Ancient of Days comes, who's going to come and judge? The Lord Jesus Christ is going to split the eastern sky. He's the Ancient of Days. And the one like the Son of Man is the people of God. Now let him get himself out of that. All right, he's got track six up here. And what did he say? He made a big play on the word baby. And what did he say about the apostles saying goo goo da da on the day of Pentecost? Where I said, John 17 and 18, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. He made a big play like this talking had to be when he come into the world. Sacrifice and offering now with not but a body hast thou prepared me. Tried to make two persons. This was his folly. This was where he fell flat on his nose. No wonder you didn't get that chart back up there, Harcrider. But I want the people to see that you didn't do what you said you would do. And I'm not going to shake hands with you until you find that person where there's the divine being, that verse where there's the divine beings in the Godhead. And you won't find it when this world is on fire, my friend. And you can't go anywhere in the Bible when you get home tonight and say this is the verse Harcrider gave for the two beings in the Godhead. Because this is like all the rest of them. What did he say about Job 10 and 12? Where the skin and the bones and the flesh and the sinew that Job was fenced with was not the me. Job said, thou hast fenced me with skin and bones. The me is not the body, but the me is the soul down inside the body. The body is Christ's human body, and the me is his soul. And he only had one man and one God in that verse. And he never did answer this about where it was neuter there, and it could be. It could be. Leave room for unity of purpose because it was neuter. What did he say about that? Went to another argument. Went to another thing, said what we're going to do tomorrow night. Didn't reply to it. And anybody in this service knows that it refers to things and ideas, and he refers to a person. That's an insult to this audience to say we need an authority for that. And then, of course, he didn't answer any arguments that I made that was in his stuff here, Jesus was to keep the church, and he ended up having to keep it himself, and why he had to ask the Father if he was a deity in this respect. And sometimes the Bible, of course, talks about him as his humanity, and sometimes it talks about him in his deity, and Mr. Harcrider believes that himself. The crucifixion, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What did he say about Psalms 22 and 10? Thou hast been my God from my mother's womb. Harcrider said he's been his God from eternity. But 22 and 10, he said, thou hast been my God from my mother's womb. And then he said, a mere man. Hebrews 10:10, by which will we're sanctified by the body of Jesus Christ. And this 27th verse, he didn't answer that either. I gave evidence where the person that spoke this said, I have to have you to save me, and I have to have you to show me the light. Was that him as the person in the Godhead? Have you got one per being in the Godhead that has to be led around? And like that, you haven't got much of a being in the Godhead, if that's what you got. He's got one human being, one divine being there, but he don't have two persons in the Godhead. And he didn't reply to this Ezekiel stuff here. He just made light of it, and he said, where is that? Put my chart 7 on the screen. And then get his chart 7 ready after you put my chart 7 on the board. Harcrider's ignoring his own charts here tonight. He can't expect me to remember them if he ignores them. But you notice when he gets my charts up here, he don't take them up one thing at a time like I do. He does. He just tries to act like he's getting some of them up here. But he said, it says here, God has spoken in his Son through whom he made the world being at that time, brightness of his glory, the exact representation of his nature. That's the New American Standard Bible. Now, this was the glory that Jesus Christ was when God spoke the creative word through this glory. As Psalms says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made. And Ezekiel said that was the appearance of the glory. Ezekiel said it was like that. Now you go and debate with Ezekiel. You need to sign him off. But I imagine Ezekiel's dead. I imagine he can put up about as many arguments as what you can. It'd probably be a pretty even debate. And it said the figure of a man, fire, radiance around him. What'd he say about that? Not one thing. Ezekiel 1:26 to 28. And he tried to run over to Ezekiel 43 and I blotched him out there. What'd he say to resurrect that? Not one thing. And now what I want to know, and you don't have time to answer it tonight, but you're going to have to face it tomorrow. Did Ezekiel misrepresent God's nature here? Did he misrepresent God's nature? And I said this before this glory became flesh.
And I read where the word became means to change your nature. God changed some of himself into a man. And he was God made flesh, not a mere man. And you, all you people in this audience, Church of Christ, Baptist, Pentecostal, you know that I didn't teach anything like that. You know he's telling a fib there. Shame on you. Then he wants me to shake hands with him up here lying on me. All right. Get his number 7 on the chart there. I'll shake hands with him after the service because I love the man. I feel sorry for him. I'm really pained that his soul is lost, and I hope that he'll pay attention to these things and save himself from this untoward generation. But he's not a child of God right now. His chart 7, he didn't put this back up, but I want to expose him on this. One minute. And you know he never answered these arguments on here. John didn't recognize him from any other human being, and God gave him a visible sign and a audible sign, and he tried to make fun of it and get the finger of God beginning Mary. And I said this was figurative of the power of God, the finger of God, the hand of God through which he stretched forth the heavens. It said, I stretched forth the heavens by my great power and by my outstretched arm. It was the power of God. Luke 1:35 tells why the Son, because the Holy Ghost shall come upon you and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be born in you shall be called the Son of God. That's where the power of the highest is. The power of God, the finger of God, the hand of God rests on Mary and works this miracle. What did he say about beget, meaning to become father of? Not a thing. Not one thing. All right. And you can see his errors. Of, what? Time?